Cyrus. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. I want you to pray this prayer before you sit down. Say this with a merciless voice. Say, chains assigned to limit me. Can you say that loud and clear? You are a joker. Break! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and break the chains. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for a wonderful time before you. And we praise your name for the gathering of your eagles here. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Father, we are gathered here. Minister to us. Open our understanding. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. A louder amen. Amen. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Wonderful to be here again. The first thing I'd like to do is to tell you that there's a special program next Sunday. Change your brain and change your life. Amen. How many people would like their brains to be changed to that of a destiny achieving brain? Let them shout hallelujah. Today, I'm speaking to you for a few minutes, I hope, on what I call the University of Zombie. What did I say just now? The University of Zombies. Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. The University of Zombies. That university has plenty of departments. Matthew chapter 11, verse 17. Well, let's speak it from verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? Jesus is trying to describe the generation. It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced, and we mourn unto you, you have not lamented. They were sitting in the marketplace, they were playing with themselves, they played music for them so that they can dance. They refused to dance. They cried before them, hoping that they too will mourn in return, but they refused to mourn. They just sat down there in the marketplace. I pray that you will not be a useless person in the market square of life. In Acts of Apostles chapter 19, we see a crowd of zombies. Acts chapter 19, verse 32. Acts 19, 32. They were against Paul. They were against the miracle working power of God in his life. And they have come to report him to the authorities. Let's see the kind of crowd gathered there. In Acts 19, verse 32. Are we there? Some cried one thing and some another. For the assembly was what? Confused. And the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. They were there crying, shouting, confused. But most of them don't really understand what is the whole of the noise about. A crowd of zombies. Jesus told us a parable in the Bible of a particular family. Brother one married a wife. The man died without having a child. Brother two married the same wife. The man died without having a child. Number three married the same woman. And all seven brothers in the family were marrying her, one by one, until the whole family was wiped out. A family of zombies. They knew not why they were gathered there, just gathered there. This is very sad. Poverty is a very bad thing. Poverty is bad. Poverty is terrible. I can confirm that for you. I pray that the poverty of your father's house will not swallow you. I pray that you shall not be an extension of the poverty of your father's house. You will see a little bit of what poverty did to me very soon. You will see. When my father left Lagos, they put me in one face me, I fight you apartment. And there were almost 40 of us living in that zone with half a toilet. No, a full toilet is when you put something inside, it goes down. Half a toilet, half goes inside, half comes out. At the back of my own room, there was a man who taught me by force to read at night. In fact, that man taught me to read from 12 midnight to any time. Because this man had a record store. And he had this giant loudspeaker outside, blaring loud music into the streets. And it was right at the back of my small face mail fight you room. When he's playing it, my room is shaking. But the joy of the matter is that at 12 midnight, we close. So it's when it closes, you can do any meaningful reading. Now, if not for the anointing of poverty, I should have left that room and go to hire a flat or go to somewhere else in the Ikoyi where I can read my book. But no. Under that anointing of poverty, in that place, I learned over 250 songs. Not because I wanted to learn them, but because they were playing them every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Or unless you are a dunce, what, they are at your back. They are playing some music every day, every day, every day. Very soon, it will enter into your spirit. And in that place, no. The poverty dead with me. And you are running, what you took with the condi. All right, wow, what good they learn to me? What boy you do about? What ori mi pe o le kota kan wazobia wale de yoruba wazobia zole de hausa wazobia biale de ibo sozo wazobia wale de meta under the anointing of poverty jagwa na now sisi oni pancake gogo owo mi lo agba to Bogo batalogo, Bogo will fire at the back of that house. And be noa in Yoroku, Sibati Jen, Baroku, Sibati Jen, and your mommy, Sibati, Bakong, Sibati, and your mama came out. The back of that house. So you can see what the poverty did to me. Iberio, Kakibe, Milo. Iberio, Kakibe, Milo. Ori came for me. A dog in do me. Ututu Kim Meja La Leod. Iberio, Kakibe, Milo. Under the anointing of poverty. Then left for Bia La Balabatuba Fere, where ye? Then left. I can sing 250. Yeah. One re ni shokoto, one re ni kalaba. One re lo yingbo, one re lagege. O wa gbo kan soro, wa wu bi bi re di omi.
ẹni wúrẹ́wúrẹ́ tó rìn yìí kò máa tẹ́ mi lọ́rùn. Iná ọ̀run, iná ọ̀run, ó kọ mọ tí ó tọwọ́ bí iná. Praise the Lord. But there was one song that man plays every day. They call the song Zombie. The song was by Fela Anokulapo Kuchi. Fela Anokulapo Kuchi, in my own opinion, you may contest it, is a good example of destiny diversion. His father, Reverend Father. His great grandfather, Reverend Father. In fact, Reverend Kuchi, the great grandfather of Fela, composed so many Yoruba Christian music. Because he doesn't believe we should be singing, "Oh God, I have in ages past." He said it's too Western. So he composed Yoruba songs to match Yoruba tone. Instead of, he will compose, "Olorun odun to koja, ireti eyi timbo." See? That was his grandfather. Fela grew up learning music from his father. His father was the first president of Nigerian Union of Teachers. His mother was the first woman to drive a car in Nigeria. Good home, good training. He was a member of what they call the British Temperance Club. Temperance Club are those who don't drink, who don't smoke. And the man never drank or smoked until he was 31.
Yeah.
And when he started smoking, he did it in a big way. And when he died, the Area Boys of Lagos, they wrapped a big M and put it in his mouth, in the coffin. Fela was a choir master. He played the piano, he played the organ in the church. He was the leader of the school choir. Yeah. That's how he grew up. That's why he got his background. And then he was sent to England to read medicine. He diverted to Trinity School of Music and read music. Then came back to Jim. Highly talented. Let's not deceive ourselves. If you have any knowledge of music at all, when he is playing, you know he's playing music. Contrary to some other musicians that we had at that time. Good music. You can see, once he starts playing, it's worldly music, but you can know that this man understands some music because he's a graduate of the Trinity School of Music. In London. He just didn't pick up the Doremi Fa Sol La Ti Do on the streets. Very good musician. And he would have achieved an excellent prize, even up to a Nobel Prize, if not for the hemp smoking, sleeping with all kinds of women. He married 27 women in one day. When a man is sleeping with 27 different women, is dancing at the gate of death. Eventually, one of the women gave him HIV. Fela died as an HIV patient. Wasted. And the soldiers saw to it that his wastage was complete by dealing with him. He was the one who sang Zombie. His description of Zombie is one of the best I can find for you. Zombie no go unless you tell them to go, Zombie. Zombie no go stop unless you tell them to stop, Zombie. Zombie no go turn unless you tell them to turn, Zombie. Zombie no go think. Let's tell them to think, Zombie. Then I say, go and die. Yoruba Rajo. Go and kill Yoruba Rajo. Go and quench Yoruba Rajo. Put on for the verse Yoruba Rajo. Tell them to go kill Joroja Rajo. Tell them to go quench Joroja Rajo. Zombie went now one way, Joroja Rajo. That's a beautiful description of Zombie. But in my own opinion, I might offend so many people by saying this. To me, scripturally, he is the most giant Zombie I've ever seen. although he composed that music. If he had lived, he could sing his music without smoking empire, because the thing is in his brain, he'd learned it. He could do whatever he was doing without dressing naked. He could dress the way I'm dressing now and sing those songs. And it would have been so much the more popular. It would have done the world a lot more good. He died his own. It was from Moremi Hall here. And listen to me carefully. They brought a girl. The name was Tekubo. Tekubo was a beautiful girl. He followed one sugar daddy. And that one spoiled Tekubo with money. Money. And he will come with his expensive car, take Tekubo out every night. But one day the man said, "Tekubo, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, okay, tomorrow you are following me somewhere." And Tekubo said, "Fine, I can follow you anywhere." And Tekubo did not know that they were going to Atom Cemetery. Now, it's nothing like love is blind. Amen. Any love that is blind is fake love. Tekubo followed this man to the cemetery. He got to a grave. The man paid the people at the gate. Tekubo said, "But I'm scared. Say, "Don't be scared. Follow me. Maybe it's me. Follow me. Don't be scared." He took Tekubo to the cemetery and said, "Now, we must have sex here." See the cemetery. He said, "But nobody can see us." "Say, don't worry." "Okay, well, don't go." Tekubo resisted it because he felt funny one kind. The man said, "Okay, no problem. When we finish from here, you get a new car." So Tekubo lied on top of a person's grave. But she noticed that the man was holding a padlock. The man was holding an unclosed padlock. They started sex. Just as the man was about to release his palm into Tekubo's body, he pressed the padlock. And they left. By the time they brought Tekubo to Mountain of Fire, she was like a woman of 90. And the man disappeared. I know the man. Now, the man is very rich. Tekubo is still a vegetable where she is. This man has his own daughter studying in England. Yet, zombie guys from Morim. No, you are a zombie. You see a man. His own children are abroad studying. He's sleeping with you. He's a zombie. That's the truth. This is why anytime I see somebody who comes and says, "Gio, I want to go to school. I've been using my body to finance my education. I want you to help me." I will be the first person to rush to that. And I'm helping so many now. You say, "I want to stop sleeping with you because I need money. If you can help me, I will stop. I'm willing to help such people." No, they can stop. But I kept some money aside for such people. When I find them, say, Is it? Amen. So listen to me. So if you are here this day and you are sleeping around just because you are broke, and you're using the money to finance your education, that kind of money will not give you a good education. I think I'm causing trouble here again. So if you're in that category, write me a letter. I will take over the finance. So instead of you spending your body to finance yourself. Amen. I was at Heathrow Airport, London. And I sat down in the lounge. Two Nigerian guests were traveling with me. I think they come from rich homes. They were sitting behind my back. And they didn't know who I was. So they started discussing. I was having the discussion. One said, "You see, one thing I hate about this Pentecostal church is that they will tell you, not to sleep with your fiancé before marriage. Say, ah, that's foolishness. Supposing the X-Men, the penis of the man is small, how will you know? And the other one was agreeing. Say, yes. Yes. Yes, the Pentecostal woman was foolish. Yes. Yes. Zombie is that spirit of, I could not bring myself to stop. When you know, it's leading to destruction. What is a zombie? A zombie is the body of a dead person. The body of a dead person. Giving the semblance of life. Without speech, without free will. That's the meaning. Zombie is the body of a dead person giving the semblance of life, but without speech and without free will. A zombie is a person who operates like a robot or is mechanical. Mechanical robot, as if you have no brain at all. A zombie is a person whose behavior and responses are wooden. They're like wood. A zombie is the living dead. He's living, but technically, spiritually, he's a dead person. That is what the Bible says has happened in their lives. The Bible says, thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. There are some people living in our world, but as far as the Bible is concerned, they died many years ago. In fact, to be quite honest with you, most times when we carry the coffin or we go to the cemetery and say, Baba Releo, Ilelo, the man died 40 years ago. They just came to pick up his body now. A zombie is a walking dead. It's dead, but he's just walking about. A zombie is dead on the inside, even when they look alive on the outside. The inside is dead. It's looking alive. Dead, completely. I told you before, during one of my messages, the day they brought one former Miss Nigeria to me for prayer, and they picked her up at Semes bus stop. She had removed her clothes. Why is it Miss Nigeria now? Miss Nigeria without fire. She was tearing her clothes. They brought her almost stark naked to the headquarters for prayers. The former Miss Nigeria. So you could look beautiful at the face of the camera, but inside a dead person. A zombie looks like human beings, yet it lacks what makes a person human. Zombie. A zombie can mimic dance step. When you dance to the right, it dances to the right, dance to the left, dance to the right. When you stop dancing, you stop dancing. It mimics dance steps, but it can't hear music and doesn't understand it. Zombies are hard to talk to because they can't hear what you're saying. Can't hear what you're saying because they're zombies. I was at a crusade in Kaduna many years back. This is very sad. These parents, they came with their daughter. Well, you know, those slim model kind girls. These slim, these kind of girls they use for modeling. That's the girl, that's her daughter. And the parents come to church. They came for the crusade. They brought their daughter. The girl was not interested in anything we were saying. They're just looking at me with disdain. I said, hello, you said, hello. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? No. Do you want to surrender your life to Jesus? No. Kept quiet, and I spoke to the parents. I was praying for the parents. He was opening their eyes and was looking at us. They left the crusade. Unfortunately, not long away from the crusade, their vehicle had an accident. The vehicle had an accident. This thing hit them from the back. When the trailer hit them from the back, The two doors flew open. Mommy fell out. Daddy fell out. She was still remaining at the back because the doors have been pressed, so she could not go out. So while they were crying, she's inside. Petrol poured from the tanker, and the car caught fire. The parents stood by. There was nothing they could do. They could hear her cry inside. She was roasted to death. A person who could have been saved a few minutes earlier. But because she desired to be a zombie, the spirit of zombie destroyed her. I pray. At any part, I want you to close your eyes and walk into destruction. Shall be disgraced. 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 In the name of Jesus. A zombie is an empty-headed, non-thinking person. Empty-headed. I'm not thinking. Empty-headed. A friend of mine said he went to a psychiatric hospital in New York. This is a pastor. He went there to pray. So when he got to the first patient, the patient was in a rocking chair. You know this chair that rocks? Then was it? Miranda. 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 Now ask the nurse. So where is this man? Call him Miranda. I did not say, that's the woman that jitted him. I see. Sorry. It's because the woman jitted him, he ran mad. So yes. So, he now went along in the hospital. Then now go to another place. They put this man in the cell, but they padded the cell with cushion because the man was banging his head on the wall. Miranda! 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 So he has the nurse again. This one is saying the same thing. And that man is calling Miranda. Say, yes, that's the man that eventually married Miranda. So the one that Miranda jilted is rocking on a chair. The one that Miranda eventually married is banging the wall. Both men are zombies. Zombies. In the University of Zombies, there are 20 departments. There are 20 departments. I'm not going to go through the department one by one and see how much time I've got before we start to pray. The first department in the University of Zombie is academic zombies. Academic zombie. You are studying, but you are not studying because of your destiny. You are studying because you want a degree. So, you don't know the course you should do. You are supposed to be a civil engineer, but you are studying history. You are studying the thing with no future in mind. It's a zombie. A zombie. I just want to get one and leave. A zombie. You are studying Yoruba. When you are supposed to be a lawyer. And you know, there's no way you can speak Yoruba in America at a law court. There are plenty of academic zombies. Two, there's career zombies. You are pursuing a career not because you prayed and God said this is your field. It's because my daddy said I must be a doctor. My daddy said I must be a nurse. My daddy said I must be a lawyer. And they say you must be a lawyer, but you don't like talking to people. They say you must be a doctor. You know you don't have no pity for nobody. So you are in a career not because that is your God ordained career, just because people push you into it. You are a career zombie. Then there is sexual zombie. Number three. Sexual zombie. Yes, girls, and yes, men. Any small thing, any small provocation, yes. At the slightest chance, you pull down your skirt. Pull down your skirt. And it's very sad. Very, very, very sad. A man undresses. You see sauce all over his penis. Penis has sauce. And you see, allowed him to enter into you. a zombie. And now you have syphilis. And you don't know what to do. Yes, girls. And he said, yes. So why did you? He said, because he promised to marry me. So, promise of marriage is different from sex. So if I don't sleep with you, then there will be no marriage. Then let there be no marriage. Because the same guy who sent that to you is going to sleep around with other girls. And the reason they find it so easy to sleep around with girls is because they find foolish zombie girls who will cooperate. If the girls don't cooperate, the men will be careful. Will be careful to know that you just can't mess up with anybody. I pray that if you are here and you are in that category, God will deliver you. God will deliver you. Because anybody who is sexually loose, listen to me very well, cannot, underline, capital letters, fulfill his or her destiny. It's not possible. You cannot. Four. There is marital zombie. Marital zombie. You know that this man has a character that is not good. But you decided to be blind to it. And you entered into the relationship. You know that the man is still smoking small. But he's very handsome. You say, well, he will change. They don't change. They got worse. Marital zombie. I must marry a rich man. Marry the rich man. There you are now. The rich man has 27 other concubines on the streets. And you are contesting with them every day. So you don't really enjoy the wealth that the man says he has. Marital zombies. Five. There is relationship zombie. You have evil friends. Friends who do you harm. Friends who give you terrible advice. You fall due to their peer pressure. I'll say, this is what my friend said. That's what my friend said. So you are listening to the advice of your friend who don't have any experience about what life is all about. You don't have any experience at all of what life is all about. You are listening to your friend. He was in South Africa. An 18-year-old girl walked up to the MFM pastor that I put there and said, Pastor, I want you to disvirgin me. The pastor said, excuse me, I am your pastor. Say, yes, that makes it better. So the reason I offer you to you is because my boyfriend will do it if you say you won't do it. But I just felt, since it's to this virgin, you being a holy man, will be the first person. Then pastor said, where do you learn all this? Say, my friends told me that if I don't get this virgin now, I might not have a baby at all. So evil friends giving evil advices, you call them relationship zombies. Zombies. When you say, I have a fiancé, somebody wants to marry me, this person that wants to marry you is never interested in prayer. If you say, read the Bible, say Matthew number 30. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. What page is it written? You already know that this man is not interested in God. Sisters, unless you want to deceive yourself, if you see a man who does not love God, you will know. Unless you want to deceive yourself. When you go to somebody says it's a fiancé, he's not talking about the sermon he hears in the church. He's not talking about what God to talk to him about in the Bible. He's not talking about your future plans. He's talking about romance. He's talking about kissing. He's talking about playboy. He's talking about, you are facing an ungodly man. Doesn't fear God. And sisters, if you want to marry, one character that you must look for in any man that you must marry is the fear of God. If that fear is not there, you've not found a husband. What you find is a serpent. A serpent does not smile. A serpent does not laugh. A serpent, you can't read the expression. A serpent is very unfriendly. And they can be very, very tricky.
very, very tricky. This is a very serious situation. They dragged two people to the marriage committee because the wife claimed that she found condom inside the briefcase of the husband. When the man got to marriage committee and began to talk, marriage committee became confused because the man said, "Don't mind the woman. These condoms, it is her I'm using it for. I don't use it outside. It's for her. It's because we don't want a baby now. It's for her I'm using it for." And it's a lie. So the marriage committee was now looking at the woman and said, "Sister, are you sure you're all right? What the man is saying?" I pray that every zombie power assigned to misguide you, assigned to make you offend God, no matter how strong that power is, must die. Let your amen roar like thunder. Let your amen roar like thunder. Number six, that is sickness zombie. Sickness zombie. From one sickness to the other, you're a young person, from one sickness to the other, from one sickness to the other, up to the point that you have succeeded in making yourself a regular candidate of malaria. If, in case you don't understand, malaria is like a demon. Malaria is like a demon. Before, when malaria starts on a person, they give person chloroquine. Now, we give chloroquine. Then, after some time, some people came. You know, I'm a scientific researcher. Some people can say, "Well, we found another drug from artesunate." Now, when you give the artesunate again, malaria is busy jumping up and rejoicing. So, sometimes now, they use up to four drugs. Four. You also contest with malaria alone. In genetics, we say they mutate. When they find that one drug is killing them, they mutate. They change their genes so that drug does not catch them again. Then you have to look for a new drug. And if somebody is unfortunate and you go to a zombie doctor, because there are plenty of zombie doctors. Zombie doctors, those doctors who don't attend lectures and they're just killing people. Go to a zombie doctor and man will not say, "I've given the first drug, this person is still running fever." The person is getting fever, he's giving the same drug again. Same drug, and the fever is not going, still giving the same drug until the person packs up. Or when he says, "This thing is beyond me," he say, I refer you to zombie doctors. So if you want to notice that a sickness is wants to make itself constant and regular in your life, if you don't arrest it, it will kill. So don't be a zombie, sickness zombie. There are plenty of people like that. You could decide to break every covenant between you and malaria, and you don't have malaria again. The last time I took an injection was 1974, when hot oil poured on my leg, like I've told you. Because my leg was roasted. That's the last time. And I took an injection. So you don't form a covenant with sickness. The other time we were passing by Atom Cemetery, I saw a friend of mine, a pastor in Redeem, at the gate. And I said, "Hello, what are you doing?" I said, "We came to bury somebody." "So who?" "Say, lady, how old is 26? I said, 26, what happened?" "Say, she died of what?" "Say, typhoid fever." "Typhoid fever, killing a person in this modern world?" Simply because the agent of typhoid, Salmonella paratyphi, also can mutate. You give them the drug, they say, "Sorry, this one will us." Seven, you find pollution zombies. Pollution zombie. That is anything the enemy does to you, you accept. They come to mess you up in your dream, you accept. They are pressing your neck on your bed, you accept. They are shooting arrows into your body, you accept. You get what you tolerate. But if you decide, no, you can't use my body to practice your weapons. No, you can't. And then you begin to wage war. They leave you alone. Eight. That is iniquity zombies. Iniquity zombies. A consistent, regular sin. You keep doing it again and again and again. You come and break down at your altar, "Father, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I will not do it again. Forgive me." The person who cried just now, next week, is falling into it again. Iniquity zombie. It seems as if you are hearing a drum beat, a music from some strange world, and you are dancing to that music without knowing. Nine, That is generational zombie. Generational zombie. They're just extending the iniquity of their father's house. Your father was a polygamist. Now you have plenty of girlfriends. Your father was smoking cigarette. Now you smoke Indian hemp. Your father used to beat. Your father used to beat your mother. Now, anybody say you want to marry, run away because of your anger. The evil pattern of the person's father's house, you find that is coming, and you are repeating it. You are repeating it. Your mother had you for the sixth husband. And now you, as a girl too, you have plenty men. That means you are repeating your generational sin, your generational trouble. 10, that is abortion zombies. Abortion zombie. You did first abortion, you still went and slept with the person again, and you got pregnant. You remove it. Did another one, you remove it. Did another one, you remove it. Each abortion you do creates a force of frustration that will fight you till you die. And then, if the person you aborted happens to be a prophet of God, you have deprived this generation of seeing that prophet. You will pay for it. Then, when the abortions are now many, you have plenty of blood crying against you. I prayed with a lady 2 years back. When we were not getting anywhere, I said, look, go and write me a list of the men you have slept with. Go and tell me how many abortions you've done. She came next morning, she had 86 names. She had 86 names, including the name of 2 Nigerian former presidents. Yeah. How many times have you aborted? 13. So she has killed 13 people. She's a murderer. So that abortion zombie. And then the campus. My parents must not know that I got pregnant. Took it out. It's a very, very sad thing. Then, number 11, that is money zombie. Money. They don't care where the money is coming from. They don't care the source of the money. They don't care who is bringing the money. I just want money. Money zombie. All money is not good money. There are some blood money. There are some riot money. There are some magic money. There are some occultic money. There are some money you spend, it goes back to the spender. Yes, all money is not good money. When Mountain of Fire and Miracles Ministry started at Ola Symbol, we had only auditorium A. And we had corrugated iron sheets and wooden stanchions that time when we started. We bought the land, that land of auditorium A, we bought it 120,000 naira. In those days. In fact, the 120,000 naira, we didn't have the money. It was one single woman that brought the money. The woman is still in MFM today. Brought the money, 120,000. Then, corrugated iron sheet, marshy ground. People come to our church, their shoes will be wet. Some ladies will remove their shoes when they are coming to MFM because of swampy area they are marching. They are going to walk through. It was at that level this man came to me for prayers. And the man said, man of God, if you pray for me, I will give you 2 million naira. And you can use the 2 million naira to complete this place. I looked at him. I said, but you have to pray for me, sir. I said, because I've not slept for 6 months. Pray for me to sleep. And I looked at him. I said, Mr. Man, the money you have and you cannot sleep, you want to give it to me. So that me too, I will not sleep. I don't want. Say what? You mean you are turning in? I say, yes, I don't want. Even if I want, I don't want. I say, but I will pray a temporary prayer for you to sleep, giving you time to go and return your blood money to wherever you took it. He looked at me like this. I say, you are a strange person. I say, yes. That's why they call this place Mountain of Fire. Not all money is good. Some people give you money and they withdraw all the money you are going to make in your life. There are some men, listen to me very carefully. They have gone to make magic juju to wash their eyes. The eyes is to locate women of virtues. When they look at you as a woman, they know whether you have virtues in you or not. If you don't have virtues in you, they won't be interested again. They will tell you not to stop coming. They will warn you not to come to their house again. Warn you not to chew up. But once they see that this one is loaded with virtue, all they will do, they will just try and sleep with you. That's all. Once they do that, every virtue you are supposed to have is withdrawn. Plenty of guys like that are in London trying to walk, but they are not making it. They are in America. They flew to America, but flying to America when your virtues have been withdrawn is a waste of time. And so when they come back on holidays and see their colleagues who were scoring zero in their class, doing very well, they say, I was the one teaching you mathematics. Say, yes, I'm the one to employ you now. 12. That is food zombies. Those who eat anything at any time, for any reason, for any purpose, at any place. Those who buy things from anywhere and eat it on the streets. Those who see their friends licking sweets, licking peppermint, having all kinds of things. You don't know where they're coming from. Can you give me some? Food zombie. There are some people, they hate fruit, they hate oranges, they hate vegetables, but those are the good food. In a single bottle of soft drinks, there are 16 cubes of St. Louis sugar. 16. When you drink that bottle, you just drank 16 cubes of St. Louis sugar into your body. Even those soft drinks that are bitter in the mouth, there is more sugar in it to make it sweet. So you're just swallowing sugar. Even ants, they have more sense than human beings. Ants. If you put flour that they used to make cake or whatever in the house, you won't find ants inside because there's no nutrient. They won't go there because they know there's nothing in it. There's nothing inside the flour. Right? And so you are rejoicing that you are eating the giant meat pie. No, what you are eating is a giant flour. Those people used to boast, say, I thank God, I can afford ice cream. I have friends who cannot afford ice cream. That ice cream, that cup of ice cream, has 21 cubes of St. Louis sugar. 21. So, your mouth can be an instrument of your death. If you're a food zombie, addicted to eating and eating and eating. If I want to cause trouble here now, and I close my eyes, say, Shakapala Bokamba Karaka Satara Bayaba, thus said the Lord. The Lord said, everybody who came to your church today should not eat anything till next Sunday. Amen. Some people will say, I use you. I didn't want to come here today. Whereas, you can stay 40 days without food. In fact, you can stay 3 months without food, but you must drink water. You can stay alive 3 months without any food, but drink water. It's water, you can't stay 2 months without water. But you can stay 3 months without food. But because there is a zombie spirit inside the tummy, it's calling for attention. 13. That is verbal zombies. Verbal. Mouth zombie. Talk and talk and talk and talk. What they ask you, you will say. What they didn't ask you, you will say. You talk and talk and talk and talk. 200 words per minute. 300 words per minute. Talk and talk and talk and talk. You speak American English, speak British English, although you have never been to England, you just talk. Talk. That is, a person will be suffering from what you call verbal diarrhea. And you talk your secrets into the hands of your enemies. 14. Spiritual zombies. Spiritual zombies are those who are swept away by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Any doctrine will sweep them away. Any somebody sweeps them away, they have no stand. They are spiritually weak. 15. Addiction zombies. Addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs, addiction to all kinds of things. You are becoming addicted to things. The person is a zombie. Something is giving you an evil command, and you don't understand. 16 is sleep zombies. You can sleep for 12 hours. You don't wake up until they wake you up. You sleep and slumber. You can sleep while standing. You can sleep in the bus. You miss your bus stop. Sleep zombies. You say you are doing IVG, personal IVG. You slept off. Personal IVG. You started by kneeling down and putting pillow on your chest, and you slept off. When you woke up, you stood up and began to walk about so that you won't sleep. But the sleep is still heavy. So you went to the wall to put your side there. Now sleep off by the wall. After some time, say, okay, it's better to sit than you sat down. And by the time you open your eyes, you heard, kekereke, Bokari Alwala. The Muslims have started their prayers already. It's the month. Spiritual zombies. Every wind of doctrine, you sweep them away. If all of a sudden somebody says, okay, beginning from now, everybody begin to paint your hair red, you go and paint it. 17. Party zombie. Bad day there, you are there. Celebration of this, you are there. That one too, you are there. Now listen. Listen. Listen carefully. Not all parties are parties. Some are just rituals. When you see a person celebrating 21st birthday 3 times, it's a ritual. And only elves can tell what they have done to that food before they start serving it. So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. Some of the parents of our friends are occultic. They are deep into the occult. Most of the parents of our friends, in many places, they are practically babalawos, native doctors. So they know what they are doing to their children, but it's you that have come from somewhere that is neutral. And you thought everybody is neutral. No, it's not. It doesn't work like that. Too. Men of them are not neutral. And once they say that you are an intelligent person, and they begin to invite you, they want to steal something from you. And most of those night parties, there are creatures in the parties that are not humans. You could have danced with one of them now. Or you could have even slept with one of them. Last Wednesday, at the headquarters, I gave another call. I said, there's somebody here. You slept with a man. Since that day, a snake has moved about your body. Over 35 people came out. Yeah. But they don't. Those men know what they are doing. Those women don't understand. Parties. So if you have the party spirit, you better repent. Better repent. All parties are not parties. 18. Fashion zombie. Fashion or dressing zombies. God created your clothes to cover your nakedness. Any other agenda that clothes has is ungodly. The clothes is to cover what? Nakedness. If the agenda is to show the contour of your body, it's ungodly. If the agenda is to seduce, it's ungodly. If the agenda is to show people how large or how plumpy your breast is, it's ungodly. The Bible says the fashion of this world is going away. When we were small boys, the kind of trousers they were wearing that time, they call it tontine. Tontine trouser, you needed help to put it on. To drag it on until it's so close to your body. And you needed help of your junior brother or sisters to pull it off when you are back. After some time, that fizzled away. Then came the baggy trousers. Some people call it keep Lagos clean. What they call it JB trousers. In the name of that soul singer called John Brown. James Brown. After some time, that sort of fizzled away again now. And all kinds of things are coming in. There was a time there's this maxi. Now there are some dangerous miniskirts now. That you do not need a microscope to see the pant of the person wearing it. You don't dress just because others are dressing one kind, so you have to dress that kind. Somebody in darkness has no right to tell you who is in the light how to dress. That's no right to tell you. Cover your nakedness as a woman. Protect your womanhood. Don't flaunt your shape, your body before anybody. Because that is a disgrace to womanhood. You are cheapening your womanhood when you do things like that. You have to know why people are doing things. You don't just start doing things. You don't just buy chain, earrings, and start putting them on. You check whether this is what do you really need it for? 19. There is a pampered zombies. They want comfort at all costs. Comfort at all costs. Don't mind what it's going to cost them. You just want comfort at all costs. The last one is bewitchment zombies. Bewitchment zombies. That's number 20. How many departments have I told you now? What is number one? Let's start together. What's number one? Number two? Number three? Number four? Number five? Number six? Number seven? Number eight? Number nine? Number ten? Number 11? Number 12? Number 13? Number 14? 15? 16? 17, 18, 19, and 20. Bewitchment is a terrible thing. It's like the person who is under the yoke of witchcraft, doing things you are not supposed to do. It's a terrible thing when somebody is under the yoke of bewitchment. When somebody is bewitched, he is doing what is wrong, what will kill him, what will spoil his life, but he won't stop. He knows that the thing is bad, but he can't stop. He's bewitched. Each time it happens, he will cry, but he can't stop. He's bewitched. It is not often that men of God feel like beating people up, but one day like this, I tell you, I feel like taking a big stick and knocking it on the head of one man. For the first time, I felt like taking the stick and hitting his head for the first time. For the first time. Three of them came to my counseling. The man, his 17-year-old son, and the mother. And the father turned to the boy, said, "You talk to him." I said, "Daddy, you are my daddy, you talk." And he said, "Mommy, you talk." Say no. So how can I? I'm a man. How can I say that kind of thing? It's you who will talk now. What is this? Talk. By the time they will come out with it, "Daddy, son, they're sleeping with mama." I ask the man, "Are you aware that your son is sleeping with his mother?" Say yes. "And you don't see anything wrong in it?" I said, "Well, if I enjoy it, I don't see why you cannot enjoy it." Bewitchment zombie. A pastor slept with a girl who came for counseling, and he brought out a Bible. Said, "You lay your hands on this Bible after the sexual immorality. Lay your hands on this Bible and swear that you will never tell anybody. You have sinned against the Bible. Now you have said she should lay her hands on the Bible and swear that she will not tell anybody." Of course she told somebody. That's what I'm telling you now. Bewitchment zombie. We were in the prison somewhere abroad to pray for the prisoners. And there was this boy who was in the jail. The age was 22. A white boy. I said, "Well, what are you doing in the prison?" said, I raped somebody. Rape? It's not 22 years. Maximum is probably 2 or 3 years. Unless if you are harmed with a weapon, then they'll make it 10 years or so. I said, yes. I said, but why do you do that kind of thing? I said, I don't know. So, but I raped somebody. I said, okay, what's your jail term? I said, 25 years. He was jailed for 25 years. That is, the boy is not coming out until he's 47. The flower of his age will have been wasted. And I said, but 25 years is a long thing. Why did they jail 25 years? He said, because I raped an 80-year-old woman. I said, but you're so handsome. You can find any guy there on the street. Why rape an 80-year-old woman? Say, I don't know, sir. Say, something was telling me, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. That is the bewitchment zombie. I pray. Is anybody under strange control? The kind of control that comes upon you, and you cannot control your body again. You cannot control your spirit again. That control will be broken in the name of Jesus. Broken in the name of Jesus. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to break the yoke of bewitchment. You need to resist any power of the enemy to give you an evil control. You need to pull down every stronghold that wants you to repeat an evil pattern. Then you need to do what Jesus would do. You need to be asking yourself every time, what would Jesus do if he's in this place now? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? In the lifetime of Jesus, he had nowhere to lay his head. In his death, they have nowhere to lay his body on unless somebody came to borrow him a grave. Somebody lent a grave to him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was crowned with thorns. He listened to the blasphemy of men. His face was spat on. He said he gave his back to the smiters. They beat him with sharp objects embedded inside whip. They nailed him to the cross and they punished him. They dealt with him. They embarrassed the Son of God up to the level that they look at him and say, you trust in God, come down. They ridicule him. Because of what? Sin. Therefore, anybody who regularly commits sin, you are stationing yourself as an enemy of God and as a friend of Satan. I want you to understand this very well. And so you know what to do when we start to pray now. I pray once again that anyone here under a strange control that wants to destroy you, that control must be destroyed. Rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet now. All eyes closed. But you see, if you are here this morning and you are not born again, you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, and you know, you understand what I'm saying, that you are under an evil control, wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I see what you are telling us this morning. I want a change. Just raise up your right hand where you are. I want to pray with you. I want to surrender your life to Jesus. Just raise it up very well. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. That's why Jesus brought you here. Raise it up very well. This is an opportunity you must not miss. Raise it up very well. Now, those of you raising up your right hand, take a bold step of faith. Just run quickly to me at the frontier. We don't have time. Just a few at the frontier. I congratulate you. You've taken the most important decision in life. Just close your eyes and say what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. As from today, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for these children. I pray, Lord, that the decision they've taken today will be permanent in their lives. Lord, uphold them by your power. Lay your hands upon them. Lord, today,
Every bewitchment power upon them, I cancel it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Open your eyes and look at me. You've taken the most important decision in life, and I congratulate you. Just do me a favor. Immediately we share the grace now. Don't go home. Just come here. I want to pray more with you. I want to take your details so I can be praying for you by name. God bless you. You may go back to your seat now. God bless you as you do so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Unfortunately, we're in a choked hall now because I'm supposed to take at least 20 altar calls, but we don't have space. I'm supposed to take 20 altar calls and pray for them individually, but we do not have the space to do that here now. Therefore, I'm going to ask you to do the prayers where you are. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. I'm praying these prayers out of revelation of what the Lord has shown to me. I see plenty of high-flying, destiny-achieving people here. But at the same time, I see them facing different Goliath that doesn't want them to move. I see people here, one day they will be on fire for God, the other time they are down. I see people here who are supposed to be prophet unto the nations, but right now they are deaf and dumb. I see people here who are supposed to change the history of their family line, but for some reasons, the enemy has stolen from them. We are here to recover. We are here to pursue, to recover. And listen, if you are a lady and you are here today, and right now, you are selling your body to educate yourself, please stop it and let me know so that you can be assisted. If that is the reason, if poverty is why you are doing it, stop it. Let me, don't be shy. A lot of people have taken away the garment of shame and they've stopped those kind of lives and they are living a good life now, if you are in that category. But then, there are yokes that must break here today before we leave this place. So, if you are here today, you find that what you want to do is not what you do. What you don't want to do is what you find yourself doing. When you say, I want to repent from this, you repent, you go back to it again. You feel bad about it, you go back to it again. Then you are under a zombie power. Something is bewitching you. And that bewitchment power wants to destroy you. Something is telling you, you talk too much, but you can't stop talking. Something is telling you, this thing you are doing is bad. This thing is bad. Each time you do it, your spiritual life goes down, and you work hard to bring it up again, only for you to go into it again, and your spiritual life comes down. Then you know that you are being bewitched. One power is controlling your destiny. This is what we need to stand against now. Immediately we begin this prayer now. The power of God will begin to move from person to person, and yokes will be broken completely. With your voice roaring like thunder, with a voice that is above anyone around you, with careless abandon, with merciless violence. That's how I want you to pray this prayer. Say, bewitchment power! Assigned against my destiny. Is now the loudest you can shout it here. Somebody has to shout this louder. Somebody needs to shout it louder. There! In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and break the power. Open your mouth, open your mouth. This is not a day to negotiate. The power of God, in the name of Jesus, move. In Jesus' name we pray. Silence, beloved. Silence. I see an angel of God just coming inside now. And this angel is going to three sisters. And he has his hands in the womb of the three of them and is pulling out certain things. I don't know what he's pulling out, but the hand of that angel is inside the womb. Something has bewitched that womb. The angel is pushing them out. That's the first person over there. That's number two. That's number three. Yes, you must be released. Enough is enough. Say, wicked powers commanding my destiny. Shut up! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and decline. Yes. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Stop them from commanding your destiny. Bakate se ponde kentia. Ribo kola kasente ya bo shente ra bakanta ya ba. Mana ribo se pola kaya bo koshente ra ba. Makatanda kara bo sapia. Ria bo kasempe la kaya bo shente. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, well, I have to make this one particular call. As we pray this third prayer, if you are in this meeting, anytime you pray about the problem you are facing, you will see your own mother. Find a way to the altar here and be on your knees. Anytime you pray about your problem, you see your mother, you'll be seen. Just find a way to the altar and be on your knees here. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. This is not a day to negotiate. This is not even a day to joke. This is a day for serious battle. A day for serious battle. You will say this loud and clear. Because you know, those people said to Elijah, man of God, come down. And the man said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down. That come down is a cry of demotion. A man of God be demoted. The man said, no, not me. Not me. Can you say this loud and clear? Every cry of demotion against my destiny. Die! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Bakatese tende ke yabo shente raba. Yes. Thou power of God, in the name of Jesus, move. Somebody have your sister here. Bakapoda kasaponda kaya boshenta. Riabo bakatanda kaya bosa. Yes. Enough is enough. Possess your possession. In the name of Jesus. Masikatenda kaya boshenta rabokopola baraba. Riabo le katenda raba. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I thank you for your children at the altar here. Every spirit of Cain was the one that destroyed Abel. Every spirit of Cain that is working against your destiny, I cancel their power. Every agenda of household witchcraft against your life, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. You shall fulfill your destiny. 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 In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You may go back to your seat rejoicing now. A big yoke has been broken in your life today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, the failure of my father's house.
Hey, if you pray this prayer with thunder and power, things will begin to happen.
The failure of my father's house shall not be repeated in my life. In the name of Jesus.
The failure shall not be repeated in my life.
Aha. In Jesus' name we pray.
The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Amen. I want you to sing these two warfare songs. Then we now, with that anointing, we now pick the final prayer we want to pray here. Sing it like a warrior. Sing with assurance inside your spirit. If I be a child,
fire, fire, fire. That was a fire.
Let fire fall. If I be a child of God, let fire fall.
God of Elijah, send on fire.
God of Elijah, send on fire. God of Elijah, send on fire. God of Elijah, send on fire.
Hallelujah. Fire, 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 fire.
God of Elijah, send on fire.
Hallelujah. Fire of God! Allah! Can I hear you shouting it loud and clear? Shout it again loud and clear. Let every soul